Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you get any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there, if you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Picks, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, not given, Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And man, you know, DC and Warner Brothers, they just can't seem to get it right. With news that Henry Cavill might be leaving his Superman role, it's become very apparent that the live-action film world of DC Comics cannot recreate the same magic they had with Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy. How much longer will it take for them to realize that maybe they're not that good when it comes to the film market? Granted, Shazam looks great, but who knows if that's going to be good when it comes out? Honestly, I think it's high time that DC looks at how they handle both the TV live-action aspect and the DC cartoons to help make their movies look great. Hell, even the Teen Titans Go movie did better critically than the recent live-action films. And that wasn't even the Teen Titans we wanted on the big screen. Now hopefully, someone over in the comic book realm will smack some sense into their movie-making department and bring forth a DC cinematic universe that can legit rival the Marvel one. Because, man, it just feels like every time they try, they just manage to screw it up one time after another. I mean, I feel bad for them. Like, I feel bad for DC Comics. I mean, they have a lot of amazing stories, a lot of amazing comics, and a lot of amazing superheroes and various other comics under the DC realm. But when it comes to doing movies, they just can't get it right. But until they can figure out how to get it right, why don't we head on to this week's playlist? I know, that's a really bad transition, but what are you going to do? Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with NanoRipe, who have had a bit of a bittersweet couple of weeks. Soon after releasing their latest album, Under the Tree of Papala, former drummer Yuki Aomi passed away at the age of 29 due to acute heart failure. And it feels weird because I had the privilege of chatting with Yuki at Anime Boston 2016, I want to say. Yeah, Anime Boston 2016. And, you know, he seemed really excited to be playing at Anime Boston. And he did leave the band a few months after the release of their previous album, Space Echo. And now I kind of understand why he had to leave. Perhaps it was because he couldn't continue on with the issues that he had had with his heart. And it sucks because he was a very talented drummer. And to see him pass away at such a young age, it's just awful. It's really bad. And to try to transition from this news to actually playing the song is really difficult. So bear with me as we start playing this new track from NaNoWriMo off of their new album, Under the Tree of Papala. This song is called Jogen.
涙などあこのポッテは苦しみも癒せぬかいあこの確かなあ安らぎすら僕には居心地のいいもので
Standing Here EP. That was Asian Kung Fu Generation with Kona Yuki. On September 26th, the band will be releasing their latest single, Boys and Girls, which also features a DVD of their first American tour track. This past week saw a plethora of news via the latest Nintendo Direct, from new installments of Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing to more info on Nintendo Online. The amount of content coming to the Switch console is incredibly impressive. However, one big piece of news overshadowed all of this, with Square Enix planning to bring many classic Final Fantasy titles to Nintendo's hardware in a very short while, starting with the recent launch of the Pocket Edition of Final Fantasy XV. Other games of the franchise making a comeback include Crystal Chronicles, as well as Final Fantasy VII, IX, both X's, and XII. The very first time any of these have been on any sort of Nintendo console. Now to me, this is huge news, as the two companies have been kind of rekindling a friendship that hasn't been this strong since the Super Nintendo era. And seeing the huge success of Octopath Traveler and I Am Setsuna on the hardware, it's apparent that both Nintendo and Square Enix are itching to bring a whole lot more to the table in the long run. With that being said, let me tell you about one game that the two companies worked on many years ago that just screams for a comeback. I am talking, of course, about Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, and in my opinion, it still stands as one of the best RPGs of the 16-bit era. Now, we all know that this game was part of the recent Super NES Classic Edition that came out last year, showing that Nintendo does consider it a classic. In fact, some may even consider it the final great title for the Super NES, as the Nintendo 64 was released shortly afterwards in 1996. And since that time, we have had various Mario RPG titles in both the Paper Mario and Mario & Luigi franchises. but we have yet to see the return of the villainous Smithy Gang since that game came out over 2 decades ago. And believe me when I say that I think it's time someone else came around to cause some havoc in the Mushroom Kingdom besides Bowser and the Koopa Troopas. And the rabbits, of course, too. Now, I'm not trying to poke the Kindle or attempting for the two companies to hurry it up with making a legit sequel, but it feels like it's time that the massive sword Exor should crash itself down to Earth once more. And 20 years is a long time for a sequel to come out, meaning there's bound to be many ideas rolling around the minds of its original developers. So both companies should start making calls, schedule meetings, and get us a damn sequel to one of the most beloved RPG titles ever made. Also, that Chrono Trigger follow-up from the creator of Owlboy, the mock-up that he made, looked amazing. Square Enix should greenlight that too. But with the many titles already announced for the Switch, it appears that now is a very good time to grab one if you haven't yet. From Yoshi's Crafted World and classic card games Catan and Munchkin to freaking Katamari Damacy, the portable home console is gearing up to have something for everyone. Also, please bring Omega Labyrinth Life to America. Considering Nintendo was cool with Senran Kagura Reflections, having this arrive overseas should be a no-brainer. They won't pussy out like Sony did, that's for sure. You know, I feel bad for P-Cube Games because they had that all translated, ready to go, proper rating system, got the M rating, it was A-OK, and then Sony was like, no, we're not going to release it. Bastards. But let's not bitch too much about it and head back to some music. Iconic Finnish post-rock band Musta Parati are back with their first album in 34 years, out on October 19th. The album is called Black Parade, and from that record is Knock Down Polten.
Yeah. secret fear. It's cold for a soul. Evil's out there. In the dark, they march. All hell is here.
Oh, Legendary voice actress Megumi Hayashibara with Sanhala, Seinaru Chikara, off of her new album 50-50. Although she hasn't taken up any new roles as of late, you can still hear her as the voice of Ai on Case Closed and Team Rocket's Jesse in the Pokemon series. Both franchises recently released their latest films with Detective Conan, Zero the Enforcer, and Pokemon the movie, Everyone's Story. Now, before I play the next track, some of you may be noticing that I'm not using my usual mic. Before I started recording this episode, for some reason, the blue Spark mic that I usually use just died on me. And I spent hours trying to figure out what's going on. My roommate, Raph, tried figuring out what was going on because apparently he's actually a really big expert on IT and tech stuff like this. He couldn't figure it out. We tried everything from looking at the icicle to the mic itself. And it's apparent that it's the mic itself that has gone and fucked up. Dead, apparently. We're going to try and see if we can salvage it. But as it looks right now, I may have to buy a new microphone. So right now I am using the HyperX 2 headset that I haven't used since probably 2015. I mean, it has some great mic quality, but it doesn't pick up as strongly as a blue microphone does. And you may notice that it sounds like I'm a little bit not as enthusiastic as I usually am when I'm recording a show. And that's a big reason why I'm not as enthusiastic right now. You know, like having a microphone that costs like $250 just die on you, it takes the wind out of your sails. And that's all I'm going to say about that without going more into an angry rant. So why don't we go into the next song, which comes from Japanese jazz group Pez, who sadly disbanded 3 years ago. From their album, Chitose Dore, this is Manate.
Thank you. pop culture-saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste-testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
That was Mitch Murder with Into the Night off of his latest album, Selection 5. This collection of unreleased tracks and singles from the Kung Fury composer also contains a song with J-pop extraordinaire Satellite Young, whose frontwoman Emmy Kusano I had the privilege of interviewing for our one-on-one interview series. Now, not all anime can be deemed a winner, even if they're a much-anticipated show. In the beginning of this year, one show I was keeping my eye on was one called Dropkick on My Devil, which places its focus on a snake-bodied demon named Jashin, who is forced to live in an apartment with her human keeper, Yurene. The premise sounded fun, with Jashin constantly trying to kill Yurene so she could return home to hell, but Yurene thwarting her plans and chopping her up in many ways. It's legit a show that writes itself, with many kinds of humor coming out of it, being in plethora levels. But man, what a disappointment Dropkick of My Devil has been. I know I talked about my love for mean-spirited comedies a few episodes back when mentioning Asobi Asobase and Grand Blue Dreaming. This show is also mean-spirited, but it doesn't have the same level of humor as these two other shows. In fact, there have been episodes that didn't even make me laugh once while watching it. Instead, I often felt bad for the character of Medusa for having Joshin constantly swindling money from her, and I especially feel horrible for the angel Pekola, who looks like she's bound to starve to death at any moment. While the scenes where Yurine kills Joshin can be very humorous, especially when she puts herself back together, it feels like Dropkick on My Devil tries too hard to put this visual punchline as the main focal joke in the show. Yes, Joshin is a shitbag character and deserves every comeuppance she gets, but there are other means of punishing her instead of hacking her up or stuffing her into an Iron Maiden. But it all just feels so damn lazy each time they do this gag. I mean, it's so bad that I got a much bigger laugh at the upcoming Joshin Nendoroid figurine that's coming out than what I've gotten from a good chunk of this show. And if I did like this show, I would have bought that Nendoroid, but I don't like this show. I don't think it's that good at all. Now, I bring up Dropkick on My Devil because the series producers are trying to push its fans to buy it on home video to help guarantee a second season. And to that, I say don't bother. This is an anime that I think would do far worse if it was given another season. If the show ran out of good ideas three episodes in, then what good would making more episodes later on down the line be? In my opinion, Studio Nomad should just save the money and place whatever earnings it makes into another property. Just let Dropkick on My Devil finish its run on TV and Amazon Prime and be done with it. There are far better manga series out there that are itching to get turned into an anime. I suggest Nomad start doing some research and make a better property come to life in animated form. Coming up next, we've got The Pillows, and although they have a new album out called Rebroadcast, or it's going to be coming out in a few days, the band still recorded a couple of other new tracks for the new Fooly Cooly series. You can find this one on the new compilation album Fool on Cool Generation, and it served as the end theme to Fooly Cooly Progressive. This is Spiky Seeds.
Down. 最中曖昧さやぶきのほら不況へボーイボーイボーイボーイスパイナスイッ
album that was the Gojo Kaidens with Junjo Gakuen Ichi Nensei, one of my absolute favorite albums that have come out this year. This Friday, the Gojo Kaidens will be sharing the stage with the legendary Scooby-Doo at the FAD Yokohama as part of the venue's The Sun Also Rises series. That's Scooby-Doo the band, not Scooby-Doo the dog. Legendary ska performers Neville and Sugary Staple are teaming up for a brand new album that calls back to the likes of Classic Specials and The English Beat. The new record is called Rude Rebels and will be hitting stores on September 28th. Here's a cut from that release that goes by the name Dirty Little Liar.
You're a dirty little liar. You're a lover who's a cheat. You take drugs beside the baby. You have a wife who you beat. Your little sister is in love with stepdaddy on the side. She stole all your mother's money for the habit that she has. Well, the lie detector says you need justice from the man. It will hurt you or could help you. Dr. G will lend her hand. And the lie detector says no full house for you today. He might help you say you're sorry. The truth will out the JK way. We'll setting free. Cause you're a dirty little liar who thinks life has been unfair. Put something on the end of it. You should learn to grow a pair. What a lie detector says. You need justice from the man. It will hurt you or could help you. Dr. G will lend a hand. And the lie detector says, no full house for you today. He might help you say you're sorry. The truth will out the JK way. Justice from the man. It will hurt you or could help you. Dr. G will lend a hand. And the lie detector says, no full house for you today. He might help you say you're sorry. The truth will out the JK way. Face up to what you've done. At the end of the day, you go that way, you two that way. That's all that's left to say.
Hey Robert, why should people listen to another retro gaming podcast?
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways, don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
Fire!
With Goodbye from their 2009 Swamp Man album. This would be the final release for the band before breaking up in 2010. High and Mighty Color's first vocalist, Maki, recently formed a new group called Draco Virgo, which also features the drummer Sassy and bassist Maquez. So glad to see that any sort of bad blood between all of them is non-existent. Now, when word got out about the Yakuza developers doing a Fist of the North Star video game, I was stoked. Out of all the companies that could do this story of Kenshiro justice, it would be Sega's talented team. After all, these guys have a great knack for pulling out great gameplay mixed with fantastic storytelling. So a couple weeks ago, Sega released a demo for Fist of the North Star Paradise Lost, giving players a taste of what they can expect from the full game. And after going hands-on with it, I was impressed with what I saw. To a point. First off, let me dive into what works great with Paradise Lost. The story aspect meshes well with the Yakuza style of narrative. In the demo, Kenshiro and Bat need to find parts for a vehicle that you can use on various missions and races. The usual running back and forth reveals some good humor and character building, as well as showcasing the kinds of threats you'll discover as you roam in and out of Eden. It's very much in the spirit of Fist of the North Star, even giving off an 80s-era sort of attitude with the characters and people you run into. I mentioned racing aspect, which actually took me by surprise. Similar to id Software's Rage, players will be able to enter races to win cash and goods that will help with purchasing items for missions and the like. The driving was very smooth, much more than even what Yakuza 5 had with Kazuma's taxi missions. And they were very exciting too, bringing to life some of the more badass road scenes from both Fist of the North Star and even Mad Max. Lastly, there's the overall combat, which is actually a lot more challenging than the Yakuza kind. Enemies don't hold back on their attacks, so using blocks and evading hits are essential for surviving. However, the main flaw I have with the battle sequences is the overuse of special attacks. It seems to be too easy to pull off Kenshiro's signature moves, to the point where his "You're already dead," or "Omae wa shinderu" catchphrase wound up getting a little tedious. With that being said, I love how hilariously gory the fights are, like heads just exploding and bodies just blowing up like fireworks. So all in all, Fist of the North Star Paradise Lost looks pretty fun. It has some flaws from its demo, but they appear to be minimal. Hopefully we'll see more bloody goodness when it hits stores on October 2nd, and maybe, just maybe, it'll reignite the popularity of the franchise enough to have a legit sequel or remake. You know, one that doesn't look as horrible as the recent Fist of the Blue Sky Regenesis series. Give us classic animation, not blocky 10 frames per second CGI crap. When your show looks worse than fucking Handshakers, then you are doing something terribly, terribly wrong. But do look out for Fist of the North Star Paradise Lost. It looks really, really good. Okay, let's head back to the playlist. Here's one of the latest tracks from the Oral Cigarettes from their newest album, Kisses and Kills. This is Reblock Art.
Coronado, り隠してきたけれど、可能性と引き換えに終わりをなくしたって物語並べて作っていけばいいよ。リブロッカーこの世に張り詰めて何度だって空港組んだ世界を固く掴むだけ。リブロッカーこの世に張り詰めて何度だって道を組んだ世界は多分それだけ。一人怯えていたけれど、終わらせたくなくて終わりを見なかった、そんな弱虫を蹴散らしてしまいたいよ。リブロッカーこの世に張り詰めて何度だって行くと組んだ世界を固く掴むだけ。リブロッカーこの世に張り詰めて
con la niña que le pide combustible con un poco de la niña, ella es cero, mi ya che è il secondo di canto, Angel Gold, la tu sabe bien, sin hacer mucho ruido, el bandolero, pareamos con el canto. Yo sí soy la diferencia.
Reggaeton for you. That was Angel Mero Romero with Acelera from the soundtrack to the movie Motherfuckers, or MFKZ as it'll be known in the US. The anime collaboration between Studio 4 Degrees Celsius and Ankama Animation finally hits theaters on October 11th from G-Kids. So please be sure you go see it when it opens. It is going to be one badass motherfucking movie. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-Pop, Video Games, and Anime Amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. And now back to my not-as-polished microphone. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from Musta Parati and Neville and Sugary Staple, made by Shameless Promotion PR. And a very special thank you to Linda M. for contributing to last week's Shameless Tuesdays. Please be sure to pick up her latest EP, London Irish, when it hits stores on October 21st. It is one hell of a release. On the next episode of Wicked Anime, we chat about the new Senran Kagura video game, the end of Adventure Time, and dive into the pros and cons of the isekai genre. That's all coming up this Thursday on the Nerdy Show site and wherever podcasts get their podcasts on. Hopefully by next episode, I'll have a new or fixed microphone for your listening pleasure. Apologies for the lack in audio quality for this one, but I have to work with what I got. And what I got isn't too great. But it does a job that needs to be done. Ninja recommended the Blue Nano, so maybe I'll look into that one. But until then, let's close things out. Our final track comes from the band Gesu no Kiwami Otome, who this season can be heard contributing to the opening theme of Mr. Tonagawa, Middle Management Blues. They just released their latest album, Suki Naruto Anai, which is a fantastic record. From that album is Image Senraku. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
でもやだな。 なでもやだなでもやだなでもやだなでもやだなでもやだなあの青いふりした綺麗ごとで弱くなったつもりになった彼女はそう深い闇の中でずっと
This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.